So I really want you to listen. Because if you are struggling in your Christianity, you may learn the key to that struggle today. You may learn what's going to transform your heart and your mind and take you to a whole new level where you never imagined. You may have missed the simplest step. So I want to draw your attention to what's found here in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus gives a simple command: follow me. You know what? Today, in today's modern world, we're pretty good at following people. We follow them on Twitter. We follow them on Facebook. We're good at following. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, it works like this. First, you have to have a computer. Then you have to have an internet connection. Then you have to make an account on Twitter or Facebook or both. And then, when you see someone that you agree with, you click the follow button. Or you might click the like button. But when you follow them, that means you like them. And then if you are following them and you like them, then you're also their friend. So, of course, if they do something that you find uncouth or embarrassing, you can unfriend or unfollow them. So you're not stuck. And also, you know, since nobody really monitors what's going on, you can follow and unfollow as often as you like. Now, secondly, many people look at their relationship with Jesus very much the same way. They follow when it's convenient, and they unfollow when it's not. I want to tell you, that's not how it's supposed to be. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. And then they were followers. And then, if we read on in our Bible, we're going to find out that they become disciples. And finally, they are sent out and they become apostles. So what I want you to see is the progression from being on the outside, from not knowing. I guess with my picture, I should be going this way. From the outside and not knowing to following, to learning, and to leading. We need to allow our own personal journey with the Lord to follow that same pattern. It is all too common for people today to jump from not knowing to becoming learners without ever spending any time as followers. This is a problem. This is a huge problem. This is why so many people are quick to notice the shortcomings of others. People come into the church and they look around and say, "Oh, the church is full of hypocrites." They go to the grocery store or some other store and they say, "Oh, that cashier at that store, that person is such an idiot." There's just so much problem going on all around us, everywhere we look. But you know what? If those same people would walk a few miles in Jesus' shoes, they would see things a lot differently. They wouldn't see the hypocrites and the idiots. They would see the spiritual battle that is common to every single one of us. And the judgmental attitude would turn into a heart of compassion. And before anybody can be a disciple, be an effective disciple, they need to spend time as a follower. Now, people who jump past following, they leapfrog right over it, they see themselves often as just having the solution to the problems of the world. These are the people that are quick to identify all of the political and the legal and the social and the financial problems that are set before us. These people, they have a good heart. And these people are people who even often, they look to Scripture for guidance. And they look to Scripture as the remedy for everything that ails us. I got your attention, don't I? I don't think I did. Do I have your attention?
Yes.
Okay. Because I really want you to hear this. You know, there's one particular passage in the Bible, and every time I see it printed outside the Bible, it makes me shudder. I just think, oh, every time. You know what that passage is? You know the passage. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now stick with me a minute. It says this: "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." You see, people who have jumped over the following, they've gone straight from unbelieving to just learning. They see Christianity as academic. They see it as, if I understand everything right, then everything's going to be right. They look at a verse like this, and they see it as the key to unlocking success in this life. They say, oh, if we could just be humble, if we would just pray, if we could just turn from our wicked ways, then everything would be all right. Let me remind you something. Let me remind you that Jesus Christ did those things, and they killed him. The person who has followed Jesus sees things, or has spent time following Jesus, sees things differently. You see, the follower will look at the problems of the world, and because they've walked in Christ's footsteps, they know that the solution to the problem, the problems of this world, is not found in behavior modification, but it's found in the work of Jesus on the cross. You see, we can change our behavior all we want. That's what the entire Old Testament is about. It's about change your behavior. Do this, and you'll be justified. Do that. Do this other thing. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And it didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. What works is a change that takes place in the heart. See, the letter of the law kills. It suppresses. It holds down. It stops people. But the Spirit of the law, that Spirit sets us free. It opens us up. That's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. He took the Old Testament and he turned it into practical application, and everybody was awed. Still. So when the person who's following Jesus, when he turns on the news at 5 o'clock, or he goes to the news on his computer or his radio or whatever, and he hears that news, the follower looks at that news from the perspective that Jesus would look at it. Because if he's following Christ, he's in the place where Jesus would be. So he looks at the world and the news, if you will, through the lens of Jesus, who, being faced, when Jesus was faced with political, social, and financial hardships when he was alive. But you know, he never really addressed those things. Instead, he just continued to pursue God. And as he pursued God, he knew that God was going to put all things into order. That's faith. faith in God rather than faith in ourselves. Faith in the holy, awesome God that created all things rather than faith in a structure and an order that we created. In the meantime, we have the promise given to us through the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. The promise for peace now. The promise of some structure and order and some sense made out of the spiritual world. Don't try and make sense out of the material world, the secular world, because it's messed up. And if it's making sense to you, you need medicine. And the last thing that Christ gave us is the resurrection. So he gave us the hope for life beyond this world. And you know what? Following Christ, having Christ in your heart, it's not necessarily going to solve any political, social, or financial problems that we're going to face. But you know what it does do? It gives us peace in the midst of all these problems. And really, what is it that we need? Peace. How much money is enough? You might think, well, a little more than I've got. No. You know how much money is enough? The amount that gives you peace. Yeah. The amount where you're like, I got enough. That's enough. You know, you can have $1 billion, but if you want $2 billion, you're not going to be at peace. Okay? You could be the most hardcore Republican on the planet, and every single politician in the country could be Republican. And I can assure you there will not be peace in this country. And you might think, well, I'll have peace in my heart. No, you won't. There's going to be conflict all over the place. So where you really need the peace is somehow that peace needs to well up from within you. Whether there's Republicans or Democrats, whatever there is. Whether you've got the money or you don't, whether the future looks bright, whether the doctor tells you you're healthy or sick, you need to have the peace that comes. There's a lot of healthy people that don't have peace. There's a lot of sick people that do have peace, or I should say ill people that have peace. How do you put all that together? By seeing things from Christ's perspective. You say, well, if I could, well, let me go on. For many, Christianity doesn't work because they jump the step of being a follower and they move straight to being a learner or a leader. These people perceive that this broken and sinful world can be fixed. These believers repeatedly run into roadblocks and they place the blame on others, and they're constantly finding excuses for why things are a big mess. You know how this happens? This happens when we see Jesus as the destination in our lives rather than the journey in our lives. We see him as someone we're going to instead of someone we're going with. If we see ourselves as following him every step of the way, it changes everything that we see. The follower discovers things about life and about God that can only be learned during the journey of actually walking with Christ. Jesus explained it with this story found in Luke chapter 18. This is a parable, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that you are not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector standing far off will not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful on me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the Pharisee jumped from knowing nothing. He jumped from the outside. He jumped all the way to being a learner and a leader without ever actually learning how to follow. This resulted in the Pharisee not being able to live like God wanted him to live, even though he was doing all the things that God wanted him to do. The tax collector, on the other hand, was simply following Christ to the best of his ability, or following God at this point, to the best of his ability, and you know, it says God justified him. Here's the application. Here's what I want you to pick up from this message. I want you to learn how to become a follower. Excuse me, I misread that. I want you to become a follower. Because you cannot learn it. You just simply have to live it. Someone might say, well, Pastor, this doesn't make any sense. I have to learn it in order to live it. No, you have to yield it to have it. That's the difference. You have to turn your life over in order to get your life. You have to be humble. You have to humble yourself in order to be exalted. God can't use the proud. He can only use those that are willing to be, if you will, putty in his hand, clay in his hand. He can only use the ones he can mold and make. Can he mold and make you? Or are you set and rigid, and I know what I'm supposed to do, Pastor? See, it all goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember that? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Why does it come back to that? Because you and I cannot accomplish the things that are found in 2 Chronicles. But Jesus has already accomplished them. So when we look at him, when he is our perspective, and we look back at the scripture, and we say that Christ has humbled himself, we see that he has prayed. We see that he sought God's face. We see that he did not yield to wicked ways. We see that he learned from heaven. We see that he forgave sin. We see that he healed those who were separated from God. We see all that. And suddenly we realize that 2 Chronicles 7:14 has been fulfilled. It's not something we need to do. It's something that has been done. And in that, suddenly, all the stress and the worries and the anxieties of what do I need to do, it all just falls away. Because Christ has already accomplished it all. What a peace. What a joy. What a sense of security that we can have when we know. When we know the depths of our heart. That it has all been finished. And we're just simply following in his footsteps. So, how do you do it? Number one, pray lots.
Pray about everything. Now, some people say, well, you got to pray once a day. No, I'm talking about pray all day. Just like you're going through the day with your most bosom friend, your closest pal. You're going through the day with them. You know, you tell your buddy, you know, I'm feeling a little constipated. Would you say, Lord, I'm feeling a little constipated. You know, maybe you get up in the morning, you go in, you go in the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and it's like, I got to fix my hair, put my makeup on. You know, so you work it away, and your hair is like this, and makeup hanging off your face like 90-weight gear lube. And you're just like, this isn't working. If your best friend was there, you would say, I don't want to have a bad hair day. I want to get this to lay down. I want to get this makeup. What am I doing wrong? Instead, I'm challenging you to take that to God and say, Lord, can you help me with my hair? Can you help me with my makeup? And you know what? One of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to help you with your hair, and you're going to get it how you want it, and your makeup how you want it, or the other thing is you're going to look in the mirror, and all of a sudden you're going to be filled with the power of the Spirit, and you're not going to care what you look like. You're going to say, you know what, I'm going out there, I'm going to own this day. Because me and the Lord, we got it down. So I'm telling you, pray lots. Pray about everything. Just include him as though he's your bosom pal. Because he is. Number two, you need to read your Bible. And people say, you know, I've read that Bible. I don't understand it. That's okay. Read it anyway. You know why? Because the Bible understands you. If you read it, and I tell you what, we could go all around this room, I guarantee, and there'd be all kinds of people could give you this testimony. I got up in the morning one morning, I opened my Bible, and I read a passage of Scripture, and it didn't mean a whole lot to me. And then I went on, and I lived through my day, and when I got into the afternoon, there was this situation that happened, and it reminded me of that Bible verse. It was exactly what I needed. And who knew that some Bible verse out of Habakkuk chapter 2, that half the words I couldn't even pronounce would apply to what's going on in Chimica. The Bible's not just a book. The Bible's the living Word of God. It is God's communication to us. Yes, He speaks to our heart, but His primary means of communication to us is through His Word. You won't know that if you don't read it. So, if you want to be a good follower, pray lots and read your Bible. Number three, ignore what others are doing. Now, I don't mean ignore them like, you know, your friend calls you up and says, hey, I got a problem. Oh yeah, what's your problem? Oh, I'm from the doctor. Doctor says I got cancer. Oh, that's too bad. Well, I gotta go. See you later. I'm not talking about that kind of ignoring them. Okay? You don't want to ignore them like that. What I'm talking about is when they're trying to draw you into a direction that's going to diminish your walk with Christ, don't go with them. Remember when your mom said, well, if your friends all jumped off a bridge, would you do it? That's what I'm talking about. Ignore them. Okay? I'll give you, tell you a little story. I used to work at a sawmill years ago. I worked there as a person who was not following Christ. And later, I worked there as a person who was following Christ. Talk about an opportunity to see growth in yourself. These are mill workers. These are men who they swear a lot, they tell dirty jokes all the time. And so we're sitting there in the break room every day. We go in there for first break, before work, first break, lunchtime, second break. We're in that break room. And some of you guys that work shift work like this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You get in there, and invariably there's someone who has heard a really good dirty joke, and they just want to share. Or that it's some joke that's diminishing somebody. So they're telling jokes, of ethnic jokes, or religious jokes, or something. Okay, I used to laugh at them. I used to tell this stuff. You know what's a terrible misjustice that has nothing to do with anything? I can remember every dirty joke I've ever heard. And I cannot, for the life of me, remember any of the good clean ones. Now, what is broken about that? Can anybody here relate? Yeah. So you got to put that stuff out of your mind. So I'm sitting in the break room. Guy tells a joke, and it's just off color in some way. Now, I'm a Christian, so what am I going to do? I could be like that other Christian who's always saying, well, that's just wrong. That's sinful. You shouldn't use Christ's name like that. And they all thought he was an idiot and wouldn't listen to him and didn't like him. Or I could hear these jokes, and I just, what I would do is I would just sit there. Everybody else in the room is laughing, and I'm just sitting there like they never said a word. But nothing was said. It never stopped anybody from telling the joke, but it never judged anyone whose heart wasn't already soft toward the Lord. But when they look at me and they say, why isn't he laughing? They would say, oh, well, it's because that was a racist joke. You know, that's really not funny. It's just shocking. Why am I laughing at it? And they would begin to question what's going on. So I'm talking about learn to ignore people. When they're leading you in a direction that you ought not to go, ignore them. So you want to pray lots, read your Bible, and ignore what others are doing. Number four, you want to focus on Jesus' characteristics. This is really important. When you study the Bible, look at how Jesus thinks and how he responds. Here's one. The children were coming up to Jesus, and Jesus said, and the disciples said, you kids get out of here. And Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Okay, what is he saying? Is he saying he wants to be surrounded by a bunch of screaming brats? I don't think so. I think what he's saying is to let the little children come to me. Let the kids come up here and let them see what I'm about. And I think that the lesson there is when we take kids and we put them out at arm's length, how did they learn? Another thing that Jesus once said, he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people say that children should be seen and not heard. Now, put those two thoughts together. If you say that children should be seen and not heard, and Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. I guess if you believe that children should be seen and not heard, you should just keep your mouth shut all the time. Otherwise, you're not going to heaven. Okay, I don't think that's the message that Jesus was communicating there. But he was communicating a message about us having open hearts. He was communicating a message about not having our minds clouded and polluted constantly with all the cares of this world. Have some fun. Next time you're in the mall and you're going from one store to another, skip. When's the last time you skipped? When's the last time you just whistled while you walked? When's the last time you just enjoyed the day because it was a day? Unless you change and become like little children, Jesus said. Unless you kind of get a grasp on the fact that everything that's happening down here is just not that serious. Have a good time with it. Move forward. Oh, one more thing that Jesus did. You know, he turned the water into wine. What kind of a message was Jesus promoting there? Was he implying that we're supposed to drink wine? No. Yeah. The message that he was trying to teach, if you go back and read the passage, he's talking about supporting family. That's what that message is all about. It's not about the water and the wine, albeit a miracle. What he's teaching is the support of the family that he gave. Start looking at things and seeing Jesus' characteristics. See what he did. See how he responded to situations. And follow him. That's number five. Follow his example. You see, because if you just learn all this stuff, then you've skipped from being on the outside, you've skipped to being a learner, and you're trying to move to being a leader. And you wonder why no one's really following you. And the problem is that you never really learned how to follow him. This is why a lot of people's faith doesn't work for them. Because they stumble in just the simplest call that Christ gave. Follow me. This is the crux of this message. Doing and learning without allowing our character to change will vaccinate us against becoming godly people. We have to change and become like Christ. We have to follow in his ways. We must follow Jesus by being who he's called us to be. Jesus and Jesus alone is our role model. If I could challenge Cheyenne to do one thing, it would be just follow Jesus. Everything else will come into place if you just follow him. If I could challenge all of us to do one thing, it would just be walk in Jesus' footsteps. Now, if you're not praying, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're following other people, if you're not focusing on Jesus' characteristics, you're not following him. I don't care who you are. We've got to be people of prayer. We've got to be people of the scripture. We've got to be people who don't look to other people for guidance, but people who look to Christ. And then we have to resist that urge to say, man, I hope that Linda Ramsey is listening to this message because she really needs it. And we got to move to that place where we're saying, man, I really need to tighten up my walk. I may be doing okay, but am I really doing good enough? Have I humbled myself? Have I learned to pray? Have I really walked in his ways? Do I really get it? Because when you get that serious about following Christ and living like him, that's when everything transforms and everything changes and everything falls into place around you. That's my challenge to you today. This week, if you would work at becoming a professional follower of Christ, you're going to see everything else just snap into place. It'll be so easy, so peaceful, so wonderful. Everybody's going to wonder what you've been doing because you're going to be smiling. That's really all I had to say this morning. I don't know why I've been talking to you for 40 minutes. Let's stand together.